Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have
you. You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul Radio, it's time for Authentic Self-Care with Nancy Stevens. Nancy discovered the importance of authentic self-care several years ago when she found herself so busy attending to everyone else's needs that her own care became her lowest priority. After struggling to make time for herself, she made it to her first yoga class, and her world completely changed for the better. Tune in today to find out how to live a life that's balanced, nourishing, and fuels your passion. Please welcome Nancy Stevens. Back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul listeners. So glad to be here with you today for those that are listening to me live, and for those of you that might come aboard and listen to the show that has been now previously recorded. Such a good time for all of us to come together at the start of a brand new month and, of course, a brand new year, taking all the things that occurred, how we processed, what we experienced, and bringing those now into the energy of this new year, 2021. Today, we are going to gently unpack how you can set out honoring yourself, your very own personalized 21. Before we unpack that, a little bit about me. I'm Nancy Stevens. I host the show you're listening to now, Authentic Self-Care with Nancy, and I've had the honor of hosting this show for 2 years. I cannot believe that. Wow, time flies when you are authentically living your best life, no matter what. If you want to know a little bit about me, If you click down the names of all of our hosts on this amazing News for the Soul platform, you can click on my name, Authentic Self-Care with Nancy, and that'll just give a little bit more about me. It'll give you my website, nancystevenscoaching.com. You can click on that or go to that and just kind of poke around the website. I have a couple options there. You can subscribe to my email list in which you will receive little doses of inspiration, support, encouragement, ways to work with me. You can, of course, email me directly, and you can even sign up for a little brief one-to-one chat for us to get to know each other. So I am here for you, and why I do this is for all of us to support and connect to each other. If there was one thing I can say I learned for sure during 2020 was this: we are made to connect with others. We are not made to take what we have and withdraw or isolate or hold back. I learned when I was asked briefly during 2020 with the surgery I had and just with the way things were that I didn't feel completely comfortable at ease and who I was meant to be. So with that being said, connect with me. Reach out to me. The work I get to do is I enjoy coaching life and well-being. People just like you who are on a path wanting to either grow in even more, or maybe you're on a path right now where you're feeling stuck and don't know the best next step for you. I partner with many people just like you so that you can receive beautiful support, accountability, and move forward with the things in life that matter to you for your own beautiful health and well-being, your body, mind, and your spirit. When I'm not doing my life coaching practice or speaking and writing, I'm hosting the show here on newsforthesoulradio.com. So that's who I am, and I would enjoy hearing from you if you want to reach out to me. Well, as I said, how you can really dive into what is meaningful to you regards to how you want to authentically care for yourself, your body, mind, and spirit as we move into 2021. And of course, what not a better time than right now, the start of a new month and a new year, to allow you to give yourself ample time to draft a plan that really touches on the things that matter to you, what you want more of or less of, how you want to shift or refocus or prioritize or get rid of or add on. All of these things are yours. What makes up your self-care? The foremost thing that most people think of when they think of self-care is their physical body, right? How can I, here's a typical one, but there's many, many more. How can I manage my weight, have a healthy weight? How can I manage how I'm sleeping? How can I manage how I'm physically moving? How can I manage my nutrition? You know, how can I manage my stress and energy? All of those things are vitally important, and they encompass self-care. Other areas of self-care that link in to our, that physical self-care, are emotional self-care, spiritual, financial, recreational, professional, just a few that come to mind. So there's many different wheels. What may be one person's version of self-care may have nothing to do with another person. So there's no right or wrong aspect to what speaks to you, what you are leaning into, being curious about, interest about, what's bubbling up to the surface. So there's not a one-size-care that if everybody checks these boxes off, ensures that they're doing A, B, C, D, and E, then boy, you've got it. Because we are all so uniquely made. Our culture, we're culturally different. We are physically different. So there's just, again, many, many different aspects to what is going to formulate the best, most intentional self-care plan that's unique to each and every one of us. So I'm going to touch on a few things today to kind of get your creative juices flowing, kind of tap into your perspective, and kind of give you some food for thought, maybe answering what you've already been thinking of or opening doors for you that you haven't thought of. So a little something for everybody here today. Let's tap into, I guess, the first one that comes to mind is the physical. I guess one of the things that I enjoy doing when I am not coaching or speaking or writing is I do teach some in-person and virtual fitness classes. I do mind-body classes, Pilates, yoga, and fusion classes. So that is one aspect of self-care. Maybe you are wanting to bring this into your life. Maybe you're already doing it. And again, you're going to expand it how it meets to you. When we take time to stretch and to move intentionally, that opens our feel-good hormones, the endorphins. It releases cortisol, so it increases our feel-good, decreases stress, opens up our muscles and tissues and bones and our heart and our lungs. So there are a multitude of incredible benefits for each and every one of us according to how we choose to move our bodies, whether it's a slower-paced gentle yoga class or a Tai Chi. Maybe it's more leisurely walking or riding a bike or taking a kickboxing class or a Zumba class or a cardio dance or a heavy weights or a boot camp. There is no right or wrong, but that is something for you to think about when you are drafting your self-care plan, is what can I offer to myself physically that's going to allow me to be more relaxed, less stressed, speak to what interests me, move me to feel balanced and whole. And if you are just getting started, you maybe because of everything that's gone on with 2020, or maybe you have a very busy life, I encourage you to just do small amounts. Maybe take a 10-minute movement break if you are working at an office. If you have a home office, Maybe you can move 10 minutes during your lunch break or go for a walk 10 minutes after you're done working for the day or 10 minutes before you get to your work. So that's just kind of putting a few puzzle pieces together, not needing to think, oh my gosh, well, I can't exercise because I don't have 30 minutes solid. I don't have 45 minutes or an hour. Unpack that and do small exercise bits. It doesn't have to be complete cardio. It can be some intentional stretching. Again, it can be that leisurely walking. You can, there's a multitude of online classes, incredible amount of apps, YouTube. So there's now more than ever, it's very, very easy for those who are working at home, who are sheltering in place, who are have a schedule that doesn't work with a regular fitness class. There's abundant resources for you to find something that will fit not only what interests you, but will move into the time and place that you're that of your life. So that is one aspect of your self-care plan in the physical realm. Another one, of course, is nutrition. That is plays a very vital factor. If you are eating on the go, eating a lot of processed foods or foods that you can quickly take out of a bag or a box and heat up, or a lot of takeout, you need to kind of study the label a little bit. Oftentimes, the ready-made foods we purchase at the grocery store, certainly the fast foods and some restaurant foods, in order to make us want to eat them, they're going to enhance them with oftentimes a high level of sodium, a high level of sugar or fat, and then some preservatives to keep it stable on the shelf. It's going to have a lot of preservatives and additives to make it look good or feel good. So the price we pay for buying convenient foods, ones that are pre-made lunch, breakfast, or dinner entrees, or that good old fast food, quick to order, is that it's often not as good for our health in the long run. Now, once in a while, of course, that is totally fine. But just kind of notice your relationship. If you eat on the go, eat out a lot, or open up a lot of frozen foods or boxed, just turn the label over and study that. If you can't recognize a lot of the ingredients, you need to research those, or just know that a good amount of those ingredients may have preservatives, chemicals in them that in the long run are not going to promote you to have more energy and overall health and well-being. Certainly you can buy frozen fruits and vegetables. You can also, there's a lot of ready-made foods at the grocery store that do have ingredients that are free from a lot of preservatives, colors, dyes, and additives, and are organic. So there are options, healthy options out there if this is your choice. So just beware and be wise. Lots and lots of studies have been done on how to, on the importance of including a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables in your diet. Again, these can be, when I say fresh fruits and vegetables, you don't have to necessarily buy them fresh, but even frozen fruits and vegetables, again, free of the additives, preservatives. Studies have been shown that how our health is optimized and we have a lot more energy when we include in our daily diet 2 to 3 servings at least of fruits and vegetables. It could be 2 pieces of fruit or 3 pieces of fruit. It could be a big salad or some cooked greens or squashes or, you know, broccoli, cauliflower. I mean, there's many things. You can find things that speak to you. But if you can intentionally include in your daily diet some fresh fruits and vegetables, that can actually even offset if you are eating out at lunch or breakfast or dinner, including those more natural whole foods in your diet can actually offset if you are doing that. So I like to say, rather than having it be all or nothing, ask yourself, what can I eat that's going to give me a boost? And also, fresh nuts, you know, shelled almonds or walnuts are a good thing to include. Some seeds, sunflower seeds, chia seeds, juices that don't have any added sugars or green, if you have a local place that does smoothies or juices, that's a good option too. And just eating lean and clean meats, more fish and chicken, a little bit less of red meat. Looking to see where your meat source comes from, if possible, buy it where it's regional or local, or better yet, if you have a farmer's market, buying it local, organic from your farmer's market. Just be aware, read your labels and see if you can trade off a more processed bread or cracker or cereal or food for one that you can recognize and there's a minimal amount of ingredients. Even trading off products is a good way for you to start. So yes, it does matter to your health what you eat. And if you are including whole clean foods in your diet, again, that would be the lean and clean meats, organic or local dairy, eggs, fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds, a variety of grains, legumes or beans. So all of that really matters. And backing away from a lot of ice creams or desserts, sugary foods and treats or chips. Backing off on the snacks, but including some. You don't want to completely wipe all that off the table. I don't subscribe to that, especially if it's winter and you live in a place that's cold or dark or rainy, or you know, if it's winter where you're living, you want to enjoy having some foods around. But again, know what's going to be a good boundary for you with that. So along with the physical self-care plan, kind of asking yourself what you are eating and just noticing that. Don't put any guilt or shame or shoulds or coulds. Just lovingly look at what you are currently eating and see if you can add in more whole, clean foods in your diet, replacing some of the more processed foods or adding in a little bit more. So finding a balance with what you eat along with our physical is hydrating. Easy to get out of the habit of drinking a lot of water when, especially if it's cold, because maybe you're not as thirsty. But it's vital to drink just as much water during the non-warm months as it is in the summer or spring months. That just keeps our brain, our muscles, our bones fluid, hydrated. We think more clearly, we're more productive. It's very healthy and very needed for all of the processing of our physical organs to keep our bodies well hydrated. I start my day with drinking a full 8-ounce glass of water, and I fill a water bottle up and carry it with me throughout the day so that I'm reminded to drink that water. Even if I take it in the car, if I'm driving to and from, I'm going to sip on my water. And if I need to refill it, great. I've won. I've refilled my larger water bottle. So I encourage you, whether you're working at home, at an office, or you're busy caring for many things in your home space or with others, to be aware of your water intake and gently work to bring that up to a healthy level so that you feel more energized, less fatigued, you don't have brain fog, you're able to think more clearly. And sometimes when we're hungry or tired, it's not because we necessarily haven't eaten anything or we haven't slept well or we're just overrun. It's because we're dehydrated. So adding that little nudge to your care routine is a good thing. And these are things that most all of us are bringing into our lives in some. So this might be just additional renaming what matters to you. Another thing with the physical is in our sleep hygiene. Sleep is very vital to me. I know when I don't sleep well one or two nights a week or more, it really starts to impact my thinking, my problem solving, my overall attitude and mood. I feel lethargic. I'm more quick to get frustrated or anger. I may not be able to be creative and productive and problem solve. So sleep is a big deal to me. I'm not a perfect sleeper. I don't say I have the world's best sleep hygiene, but I'm always working on improving my sleep hygiene. One way to work on your sleep hygiene is if you are watching your favorite shows right up until lights out, or if you're working at your on your electronics, that can kind of keep our mind very, very active and on, you know, and on. And so that when you turn the lights out to go to bed, it's going to take you longer for your body and mind to unwind because you've kept that your mind on by either watching a show, listening, or doing work. So if you can give yourself permission to back away from a screen an hour before you go to bed by doing that for your body to unwind a bit faster. Another thing is if you are enjoying a glass of wine or a cocktail or a caffeinated beverage, if you are doing that and then wanting to go to bed, you know, in the next hour or two, that's going to definitely impact your sleep. The caffeinated beverages or the alcoholic beverages are going to impact your sleep. So kind of make a note of that and kind of go back to see, remember those times in your life when you've consumed your favorite beverage or caffeinated beverage or whatnot, and just kind of notice. So maybe time to back off that well before you go to sleep. Maybe if you have a bedtime routine, if you're not, sometimes we're rushing around wanting to get everything done before we go to bed, get the laundry done, get it folded, dishes put away or clean up or make sure we've got everything by the front door ready to go. We're going to wrap up a few more work emails or just read that extra chapter. That, again, that added bit of work keeps our adrenaline on, keeps our energy increased, and when it comes time for us to go to bed, again, we may be tossing and turning and really have trouble falling asleep because we've been, so to speak, revved up or amped up in our metabolism and energy, and we are lights out and not being able to sleep. How is your bedroom? Again, if you have a lot of heat on, studies show to have a lower temperature in your where you sleep. We don't need a high heat when we sleep. I personally do not sleep well if it's hot. I am wide awake. So I make sure I actually cover the heat vents in our bedroom, and I do turn the heat down. Some of us like heavier blankets, some like lighter blankets. So just kind of know what your sleep preferences are. It is best to have a cooler temperature room that gets the body a chance to cool down and is optimal for sleep. However you want to make yourself comfortable. Make sure that your room is dark. Do we have, again, a lot of devices in our room, bedside plug-ins or a TV? So if you have a lot of light showing in your room, either from outside, under doors, windows, or devices, make your room as dark as you can. It's best for us to sleep in a darker environment. Again, of course, you can have a nightlight in the bathroom or lighting the path, but make it as comfortably dark as you can. Minimizing noise. If you like a noise machine and that makes you sleep better, grab that. Then again, maybe having a little bit of water before bed if that feels good to you. So again, really take care of your sleep hygiene so that you can optimize your time to relax before bed. And when you're in bed, knowing that you're not going to necessarily have to toss and turn and be wide awake for a long time. And if you have major sleep issues with insomnia or just waking throughout the night, then you would want to take that up with your health practitioner to see if there's things that you can do to increase your ability to go to sleep and stay asleep so that you'll feel refreshed and energized. So those were the big plan going forward with your, again, exercise, diet, hydration, sleep. And then moving into your emotional self-care plan. That's a big deal too. So yes, while it's important for us to really care for our physical body, it is also equally important for us to care for our mental and emotional body. How do we do this? Well, if you are one that is working on, if you think it's your job to handle everything for everyone, and that leaves you feeling forgetful of your own things, if it leaves you feeling frazzled or stressed or anxious, perhaps it's time for you to examine the boundaries that are in place with you, between you and yourself, and between you and your coworkers, your family, your loved ones. Examining that, this is a big, this could be a big show in and of itself, but are you crossing another's boundary, thinking that you're doing a, it's important for you to ensure that your loved ones or coworkers constantly have you helping them to navigate or manage the things that are important to you? Are you getting involved in other people's drama or day-to-day, thinking that it's your job to listen in, to weigh in, that, oh my gosh, I'm going to be impacted if they're having a good day or a bad day, or if they've forgotten something or something didn't go well, so that you are constantly, again, up and down mentally and emotionally, because you not only are tending to yourself, but you have unintentionally or maybe intentionally crossed the line and are taking on handling another person's emotions, thoughts, day-to-day things. Maybe you're one that's happy when everything is going good, when there hasn't been any conflict or drama or accusations or, you know, big things, and then you equally feel stressed or deflated when there is supposed conflict or drama or the ball is dropped or big deadline. So are you, if you are emotionally up and down according to what's happened outside of you, perhaps it's time to give yourself permission to examine those boundaries that you have in your life and to work on ways that you can helpfully reset new boundaries. It is never our job to think that we need to navigate and manage other people's lives. I will repeat that again. It is never our job to think that it is our job to manage, navigate, handle, sort, and sift the life of another person, right? Of course, with young, if we've got little children, we need to supervise and manage them so that they physically don't get hurt, that they are supervised and directed. But when it comes to young adults in our household, coworkers, spouses, parents, sisters, friends, whatever, no matter how much we care about that person, and we may think that they are going to mess up, screw up, oh my gosh, come upended, and that we are feeling tense, anxious, stressed, mad, whatever. It is never our job to think that it is our job to change, control, fix, help, support, unless that person has asked us for our advice, has asked us to support or help them. How much time have all of us wasted in emotionally weighing everything that other people are doing or what we assume other people are doing? Have we spent saying, if only they would do this or that, they should have done this, I should have known better, oh, I see a pattern, I'm going to, they're going to? How much emotional energy do we spend getting into other people's business because we've unknowingly thought that it was our job to help change, control, fix, support, save, because they just can't do it, or we are just, that's just who we are. We have to, you know. So that can be a beautiful part of all of our self-care plan this year, is to work on our own emotional and mental health well-being journey. That came up in my life during 2020 was, what were some of the things I was doing that the mirror looked back into me that came full face, that I needed to do differently, that I needed to see the little picture and the big picture and make some positive, proactive life choices and changes. Now, I'm going to say it's not necessarily easy. It is a job. But once we lovingly take on the role to handle our own best emotional and mental well-being, we have more energy to do more for ourselves, and we have more energy to give thoughtfully into all of those areas of our life, from professional, career, personal, relational, spiritual, we suddenly find that we actually have more time to work on ourselves rather than thinking it's our job to change, control, fix, lift up, help, support, save other people. And sometimes it's just become a well-worn habit, and it deflects us that if I'm so busy thinking it's my job to notice how everyone else is doing, to keep a watch on them, to make a list, to share this, to go inward, oh, well, I don't need to work on myself then. Then if we're not working on ourselves, we're missing out a lot on our own life and how much we can really be a valuable asset into the whole of our beautiful life. So again, I said this could be another massive topic, but it is an important topic of factoring this into your self-care plan for 2020 by taking a loving look at your emotional and mental health relationships with yourself and with all others in your life. Key people to help you do this? I'll raise my hand here. That's one of the big things that I do as a life and well-being coach, is I work with my clients one-on-one to help them see more clearly, discover and uncover ways that they didn't even know that they were crossing boundaries that left them maybe physically feeling drained and stressed. Well, once we unpacked their mental and emotional relationships with themselves and others, then they were able to suddenly begin to feel more energized, less stressed, calm, and at ease. So hiring a wonderful life coach, working with a counselor or therapist, the work that we do on ourselves, again, really grows and improves our own ability to be fully and authentically in our bodies and our lives. But it also frees other people to work on themselves without this unspoken undercurrent that they're being watched or they need to explain themselves or be uncomfortable. We have to, as we learn from our own doing and supposed failures and mistakes, so too do others need to learn from their own experiences of maybe failing or making a mistake or a misstep. It's all meant for our greatest, highest good of learning. So that is something that is vital that I've really been tapping into myself, is really working on my relationship with myself. When I feel activated or triggered, instead of reacting externally, I lovingly and quietly go within and get down to the root of what was it about that conversation, that event, what passed through me that made me feel a little nervous or frustrated or, you know, anxious. What was that? So I've learned to talk myself through that, getting to the bottom of it in order then to have a response that's more very, very true to the situation versus my reaction that might have been just right at the moment. So notice your reactions and lovingly tap underneath them to find a truer truth. Maybe that reaction to what was said or done, as you did that work, you realize, wow, I'm really tired. What can I do to be less tired? Well, I need to delegate more tasks. I really do need to do some gentle yoga. I need to stop work when I say I'm going to stop work. I need to ask members of my family to help me. So that initial reaction that might have been frustrated or angry, if you sit back and get to the root cause, it may be because you're just tired and you need other people to come along and help support you by delegating tasks or having somebody to talk to. So this little example is one of many that speaks to a bigger need. So give yourself permission to do some work to get to the root of why you may be seeming to react or get triggered. Then you can put together, again, include in your self-care plan that, oh, my emotional and mental health care means that I'm going to quit work every night at 6 p.m. I'm going to wrap it up, and I'm going to enjoy my time spent with my family or myself. I'm going to do things that make my body and mind feel rested and refreshed and de-stressed, so I'm not constantly perhaps feeling frustrated, exhausted, stressed, overworked, harried, behind. So putting that into your self-care plan, what can I do to foster a beautiful relationship with my feelings and emotions? It may be physical things, exercise or sleep hygiene or eating, hydrating more, eating more whole foods. It may be social things. I know I need to connect with a good group of friends once a week or once a month. I need to talk on the phone or in person or read a good book or learn something or just do nothing, lie on the couch or meditate or walk. So you're going to put in place things that can be physically or spiritual that are going to make you feel more balanced emotionally and mentally. So what are those that come up to you that are personal and speak to who you are, where you are at? Another thing for our self-care plan would be a financial thing, and that can also, the financial can speak well to having more sense of a physical and emotional well-being. If you don't know where your money is going or you have money problems or money issues, that can cause a lot of stress, can cause you to feel disconnected. So first thing I like to share with people is know, where is your money coming from? Do you have a full-time job? Are you employed, self-employed? Are you a working partner in a relationship? How do you handle your money? What is your relationship with your money? Is it secretive? Is it, I don't want to talk about it, I never have enough? Is it, I give away every dime to everyone and, money is to spend until the very end? So kind of work on, what is your relationship to your money? Money is nothing more than energy. I personally would prefer to have good energy with my money. So it's important for me to know how much money I'm going to take in each month. Then I need to know, how much money am I going to spend on those daily things, the monthly things, housing, right? Food, utilities, clothing, transportation, charitable giving, medical bills, credit card bills, loans. I need to know, how much money do I actually have to spend each month? And what are my financial obligations that need to go out the door each month that are going to allow me to live comfortably? Then what do I have left over? Can I save some of that? Do I have more money to spend? Where is that leftover money going? Is it going into savings, vacation fund, car fund, educational fund, medical fund? How am I speaking and telling that extra money where to go? Or maybe I have hardly any. Okay, so you're going to maybe make up a plan. How can I bring in some additional income as needed so I don't feel I'm literally living dollar to dollar? So maybe shoring up your financial situation, either A, knowing how much you have coming in each month, what your monthly expenditures are, and if you have anything left over for discretionary, what does that look like? So having a healthy, abundant relationship with your money. Money is energy, and it feels much better to have a positive relationship with your money than a negative one. Negative one meaning I don't know where my money goes, I don't know how much I make, I don't know where it goes, I never have enough money, I'm always poor. So you see money as a deficit, as a negative energy. Nobody has to see that. We can see money as a positive, life-affirming energy that we can put ourselves in control of earning that money or managing that money. So that is something beautiful to put into your 2021 self-care plan as well. Personal relationships, that kind of ties into both physical and emotional and mental. What is the state of my personal relationships? Do I feel really good about that right now? If I don't feel really good about it, what can I do to enhance and increase my personal relationships with my significant other, my spouse or my partner, with friends, with coworkers, with acquaintances, with people at the workplace or at my spiritual center or in my apartment building or neighborhood? whatever that needs to look like, notice the state of your personal relationships, and this is something to factor in and include in your self-care plan. If this has meaning to you, if you're wanting to increase your social connections and deepen your personal relationships, include that into your self-care plan as well. Another one is recreation. What do you get to do that you look forward to doing when you are not working or caregiving? What do you do for recreation? That can be going on a vacation, a hobby, a pursuit, an activity. What does that look like to you? Again, we don't want to have all work and no play or all play and no work. We want a balance. And having a key piece that speaks to you, how does that factor in to your self-care plan? You like to do for you, not because others are doing them or because, oh, I've been told that doing this is going to improve my career or my profession or grow me as a person, but what are some things that are just simply fun that you enjoy doing for yourself or together in a group? It can be, again, a book club, art, photography, hiking, travel, cooking, game playing, learning a new craft, education. The things are very, very open. Are you doing any of this already? Would you like to do this? So kind of take a look at your own hobbies and interests outside of your caregiving and day-to-day activities and your work. How does that factor in to your life? And a big one, of course, is spiritual. What is your spiritual connection in yourself with others, with your higher self? What does that look like? Have you closed the door on spirituality? Have you opened the door on spirituality? How does this look like to you? How does this factor into your life? I myself place a very high value on spirituality and spiritual growth and development. I've learned from my past at times when I was spiritually devoid, I felt that my life was a lot, had no color in it. And I felt like I was oftentimes very lonely and on my own and really didn't have anyone to turn to. So it became important to me as I met people in my life that began to teach and speak into me, that I began to take note and listen and lean into. This is a very important aspect in my life, my spiritual growth and development, as it fingers and factors itself into my relationships with myself and others, my outlook and attitude on life, how I do my work or don't. So I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. If you are just getting started or wanting to grow this or don't know, I give yourself permission to explore what spirituality looks like and feels like to you. Maybe it's picking up and rekindling the spiritual practice. Maybe it's going deeper in one. Maybe it's visiting churches or synagogues or centers or reading or taking being mentored or having classes. There's many different ways out there. You want it to be positive, loving, and caring. And so that's another factor that you can bring into your self-care plan going forward. I believe I've covered quite a large amount of beautiful ways for us to implement and grow and plan for our self-care journey going forward into this whole new year. And again, it's going to look different for each and every one of you according to what you are doing already, according to what speaks to you, according to who you are. Simply tapped into what I feel are the key areas for this. Again, they're the physical, emotional, financial, recreational, spiritual, professional is another one. So all of these work together to form a part of the whole. And for some, again, you may need to work more on your physical self-care. For some, they've got that dialed down. Maybe you want to work more on your emotional and mental health care. For some, you see a gaping hole and you want to really work on your financial self-care and well-being. For others, You want to really dive deep into your spiritual growth and development. And for others, it's recreation or financial. There's no right or wrong. It's for you to spend time in quiet reflection, meditation, maybe journaling, speaking to your life coach or counselor or therapist or good friend to kind of get an idea where you feel things are well and where you feel they're low. And there is what's called a wheel of life. And you can kind of divide this up into, I call it pie pieces or pizza pieces, if you like that. And you're going to write down, you can draw a circle and write down in one physical, another one can be emotional, another one spiritual, another one recreational, another one financial, another one, professional. You can make a big wheel and write in all the areas that come to mind. And then you can let all those connect at the center. And at that very center, the middle of that circle would be, we'll call that a zero. That would be having little to no attention to that. And then as you get very closer to the written word at the very top, that can be a 10. And so you're just going to put little dots according to where you see yourself. It could be a dot very close to that circle. It could be a dot at the very far top. And then you're going to, once you get all the dots, you're going to draw, connect the dots, and the dot connected dots will kind of lead you to see, oh, it looks like I'm, for instance, maybe I'm all the way to the top with my physical and spiritual, but it looks like I'm way down at the bottom with my recreational or financial. So you're going to kind of get to see patterns that may make things bubble up to you and give you an idea of what it is you want to follow. It may be nothing on those dots. Maybe another door will have opened on that wheel, or maybe you're going to follow that. So, again, there's no right or wrong, but the wheel, the life well-being wheel is a good way for you to kind of get more clear on where you think things are good, where they could be better, and where you're not doing any work that you want to. So that's a very handy tool. And, again, if you email me, I will give you a link so you can access this wheel of life tool. I'm happy to do that for you. And to close, I'd like to kind of do a little reading today. Since we are in the month of January at the start of a new year, I hope what I've shared is giving you food for thought, giving you pause to reflect and kind of reframe your perspective on what you can do to increase and grow your own beautiful self-care plan for 2021. Honor where you are. That's the most important part. There's no right or wrong. We just get to start where we're at, and that's where we're meant to be. I'm going to read a little bit. This comes from Melody Beatty. She's a very well-known self-help author that has been around for many years. And this is from her book, Journey of the Heart. Honor the beginning is a little bit I'm going to read. Beginnings can be delicate or explosive. They can start almost invisibly or arrive with a big bang. Beginnings hold the promise of new lessons to be learned, new territory to be explored, and old lessons to be recalled, practiced, and appreciated. Beginnings hold ambiguity, promise, fear, and hope. Don't let the lessons, the experiences of the past, dampen your enthusiasm for beginnings. Just because it's been hard doesn't mean it will always be difficult. Don't let the heartbreaks of the past cause you to become cynical. Close off to life's magic and promise. Open yourself wide to all that the universe has to say, teach, share, and show. Let yourself begin anew. Your bags. Choose carefully what you bring. Because packing is an important ritual. Take along some humility and the lessons of the past. Toss in some curiosity and excitement about what you haven't yet learned. Say your goodbyes to those you're leaving behind. Don't worry who you will meet or where you will go. The way has been prepared. The people you are to meet will be expecting you. A new journey has begun. Let it be magical. Let it unfold. All parts of the journey are sacred and holy. Take time now to honor this very beautiful beginning. It has been my pleasure to be here with you today. I'm Nancy. My show is Authentic Self-Care with Nancy. I hope to hear from you. I have show notes today. I can share with you the book and give you that beautiful wheel of life for you to begin your own journey. Until next time, stay safe, be well, love yourself. See you next time. Take care.
News for the Soul Radio will begin its 24th year of broadcasting in January 2021. After nearly a quarter of a century of grassroots investigation and exploration into the unknown and lesser-known realms to discover what's really real and what's really possible, with News for the Soul founder journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm, we now find ourselves here in this pivotal moment in human history. Staying in our power and in our hearts is more crucial than ever. We are continuing to work 24/7 at News for the Soul to uncover truths and techniques to best maneuver through challenging times. We are increasing our broadcasting hours to support and serve in the highest way possible. Tune in daily to discover hosts and radio shows, and also to hear Nicole Marie's latest cutting-edge interviews with luminaries of our times speaking to what's happening in our world today from a conscious perspective. Community, consciousness, and positive empowered focus are crucial. We are here for you. Go to newsforthesoul.com to find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com, and spread the word so others can avail themselves to this free resource as well. That's newsforthesoul.com.